You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Pat Rigsby here again with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today I've got my good friend, Levi Memmer. He is a member of our mastermind group, and he's got a great story. It's a story I really personally connect with quite a bit, coming from the sports and strength and conditioning world to the kind of private sector, if you would. You know, Levi was a college athlete that was a strength coach, you know, at a couple different Division I schools, and then decided, you know, he wanted to go into business for himself. And yeah, you know, he opened Intensity Training Systems, and like so many of us, you know, was just that kind of startup getting by. And then, man, he hit another gear, and they're right at about 380 clients now. His business is thriving. Things are going great. And so I thought he would be the perfect guest to have on the Ideal Business Show to share kind of his story, his journey, and some of the things that have helped make his success possible so that you can enjoy some of the same. So welcome, Levi.
Well, thank you, Pat. And it's an honor to be on your podcast. You've been such a blessing to my business and therefore my family. So happy to do it.
Well, man, I appreciate that, but obviously you've done the heavy lifting here. I'm just happy to be able to offer, you know, something as an advisor, and, you know, feel like I'm on Team Levi here a little bit, you know. And, you know, so I talked about some of your backstory, but let's go ahead and kind of back up and talk about how you got into the fitness and sports performance world.
Sure. So my love for fitness and kind of the iron game started right before my freshman year. My college teammate was actually Brian Shaw. He's a four-time world's strongest man now. We played basketball together at a small school in South Dakota. He was a couple grades ahead of me, and so he knew a little bit about lifting, and so we lifted together that entire summer before my freshman year, and I put on 25 pounds that summer and went from a kid who was probably going to redshirt and was going to take some time to mature and work on my game to a true freshman that actually started 10 or 12 games that year. And so I just fell in love with the weight room and what it did for me. And so, you know, I wanted to go the sports performance path because, you know, I was an athlete. And so after college, I took a job at Michigan State. I got an internship there and, you know, fell in love with strength conditioning even more and working with athletes. And from there, I went back to Black Hills State as the only strength coach in their history up until a few years ago, and then University of Wyoming, and then Texas Christian University. And then I married a Texan, and apparently it's in their state constitution that if you marry one, you can't move out of the state. So we stayed in the state, and I started my business, and here I am.
Awesome. So what really prompted your move from the world of college athletics? I mean, I know this is kind of a conversation you and I have touched on from time to time, because that's kind of its own little self-contained ecosystem, to stepping away and doing your own thing.
Sure. There were a couple things. And like you said, we've talked before, I loved training athletes. I absolutely loved it. But I hated everything else that went with being a college strength coach. And so I started kind of brainstorming ideas of what I could do to still be able to train athletes and not have to move all over the country trying to move up, you know, in my career path. My wife had a good job in this area, so we decided that starting a business was the direction I wanted to head. Both of my parents started businesses from the ground up, and so it's kind of in my blood. And so we decided to go that route. And at first, honestly, I didn't want to train adults at all. I wanted to train athletes only. Adults was kind of a way that we could help pay our bills until we grew our athlete, you know, our sports performance side of our business. I actually ended up just loving training adults way more than I ever loved training athletes, interestingly enough. So that's kind of what prompted it, is I love training athletes, but I just really didn't like everything else about being a college strength coach.
Yeah, that's interesting, Matt. You know, understanding the move, and I remember when you were just kind of getting started and when it was very much an athlete thing and the adults were just kind of a means to an end to pay the bills. But to see that this is become something you're even more excited about, you know, the adult side of it, I mean, that's probably not something I commonly hear.
Well, what happened is at the college level especially, you know, I worked with some really high-level athletes, you know, probably 15 to 20 guys that are still in the NFL. And it was awesome. It was cool to train them, right? They're, you know, they're fast, they're strong. It's impressive to watch them and be able to be a part of that journey with them. But you really don't have – most of that's God-given, right? Like, I'm not going to take a kid from a 5.0 40 to a 4.4 40. That's just – right? And so you weren't able to have a huge impact on people at the college level. And so even though, you know, like when we first started in business, like I said, that, you know, I wasn't all that ginned up about training adults, and I started to figure out that I was having a huge impact on these people. You know, I'll never forget when our first person, our first 100-pound loser at our gym is in my tears and off in my office, and I'm just like, holy crap, like I have, this is life-changing for these people. As a sports performance coach, you know, at the college level, it's not necessarily entertaining. And so I'm able to have such a bigger impact on these people that I train that it's a high to be able to help these people change their lives. So.
Well, awesome. So let's talk about the journey from startup to where you are today. And I understand that's kind of a big topic. So, you know, when you started, tell me what your business looked like at that point.
Well, the first 6 months I was part-time because I was still under contract as a strength coach. And so I did it part-time for the first 6 months. And I think after that 6 months, we had maybe 20 clients. I couldn't really run it the way I wanted to run it because I was working somewhere else. And then right about that time, you and I started working together right at that 6 month point. And we steadily grew the sports performance and the adult side of things. But I fell more and more in love with the adult side of things. And as you know, and probably most people listening to this podcast know, sports performance is a tough, you know, with seasons and schedules, it's tough to maintain consistency with your athletes with that. And so we've eventually just phased ourselves out of training athletes and we're strictly adult now.
So obviously 380 clients or 380 members is a pretty big number. So what's that path look like? How did you go from part-time startup to a number that, I mean, has to be in the top 1% of the industry?
Honestly, a ton of hard work, being able to bounce ideas off of you guys and get coaching and having you guys kind of take an objective look at things, and it's helped a ton. Since that startup, we now have 3 full-time coaches plus myself, plus kind of 2 part-time admins. We've never made what I consider a quantum leap in clients or revenue or anything like that. It's been a constant growth that we've been able to maintain for the last 5 years.
So, I mean, hard work and growing a staff and everything's good, but like, where have all these 380 people come from?
Well, they've come from, you know, within 10 miles of our gym. They've come largely through referrals. We have a very strong referral base, very little external marketing, mostly referrals and treating people right and having a great service, just loving on people and making them feel like part of the family.
So lots of referrals. I mean, let's talk about how you facilitate referrals. Like, I mean, what can you share about that? Because I know that people are going to say, man, I want to know what some of the secret sauce is. I mean, are they running great challenges? Are they doing something from a referral standpoint other people aren't doing? I mean, how can we do more of what Levi's doing?
Yeah, it absolutely starts with the culture of your gym and the overall morale of your client base. There's no question, but we have that in place. We have unbelievable clients that really believe in our mission. And so past that, we do a few things. You know, we do referral bonuses. So, you know, if somebody refers a friend, we pay them $50 straight cash. But the one that we've really done really, really well with in the past, we've been doing it maybe 2.5 years, 2 years now, is what we call check-ins for charity. And so it's similar to like Sweat Angels, where if you check in at our gym, we donate to a charity. But what we did is we have a specific hashtag that our clients check in here with. So if they work out, they'll check in, you know, say great workout, whatever. And like this 8-week cycle, they'll use the hashtag ITS for Kaylee Strong. So Kaylee was a young lady in our community who was actually headed to her graduation and got T-boned. Somebody ran a stop sign and hit her. And so she has a long, long, long road to recovery. And so what we did instead of donate to worldwide charities is we keep all the money right here in our own community. You know, every 8 weeks we pick a charity or a cause. And what it's done is it's made our clients really excited about being a part of this. You know, I see check-ins all the time that say, I'm so glad my gym gives back to our community. You know, a lot of people knew that young lady. So they're super excited that we're donating to her fund that's been set up. Or, you know, another, you know, different charities. We have a lady who runs a nonprofit, gives out scholarships to first respond, the kids of first responders. She started that charity, and so we donate to that for an 8-week cycle. So because it's local charities, because they have such a good culture, people are so excited to be a part of something like that, that ITS will donate to a local charity if they'll check in and use that hashtag. The hashtag is really the way we count them. Other than that, it's really irrelevant, but that's the way we count up our check-ins.
Very cool. No, I think that's great. I think, you know, I'm such a fan of taking what already works and then kind of putting your own twist on it to make it better, to make it different. And, you know, obviously I've got great respect for the work that Sweat Angels does and the impact they're making and their business as a whole. But I mean, you being able to kind of personalize it and make it a better solution for your business, I mean, I think that's brilliant. Now, that's great. So do you guys, you know, aside from that, are you doing things like challenges as a driver in your business? I mean, I know some of this stuff, but I know that other people would want to know because, I mean, just the magnitude of your business is so darn impressive.
We do 3 challenges a year. We do one in January, one in September, which most people do. And then we do a shorter one that's leading up to summer. You know, Texas is hot, and so people are outside a lot, a pool, or they go to the coast or whatever, the lake. So we do a challenge leading up to summer. We do get a ton of referrals. Over 80% of the people that we get in challenges are from referrals. And it's crazy, you know, like it starts with the culture and the overall morale of your client base. If they feel like they're being taken care of and they feel like you have their best interest at heart, it's crazy. I'll make a post on our business Facebook page, like, you know, do kind of a promoted post type thing. And we'll have 100 of our clients share it without even asking them. And if we ask them to share it, it'll be over 200. It's really cool to see how bought in our clients are, to how much they believe in what we do. So that's, like I said, going back to referrals, that's a huge part of getting referrals, is just treating people right and really having them bought into what you do.
So I think that's another great point too, right? Because I personally think it's easier to refer somebody to a challenge than it is just to a general kind of ongoing program, because now you've got a deadline to motivate somebody to hit. And we all know the importance of deadlines in marketing. You've got, you know, something very specific. If you're referring somebody to a challenge, it's a short commitment. It's a very defined financial investment. It's got a starting point. So it's easier for a client to refer somebody to a program like that than just say, hey, come join my gym, come become a part of this program. So I think that's great. So let's kind of shift gears and talk about what you guys have done to create such a great culture, because I know that when we talked about retention at the last mastermind meeting, I mean, I think you were a little bit bummed about having a retention most other people would kill for. So what are you guys doing to create such a great culture and retain so many clients? And you're in a relatively big market, so there's plenty of other options available. So how are you hanging on to people so long?
Well, there's a few things. Again, I think it goes back to the overall culture of your gym. It's like a family here. And I know everybody says that, but it really is a super tight-knit community. And then we've been very blessed to have really, really, really good coaches and very, very low staff turnover. Our head coach has been with us for 2.5 years. And then the other coach that's been with us for some time has been here for over 2 years. And then we actually just brought on one more coach. She hasn't been here for long, but she's been a client for 3.5 years before that. And so we've been very blessed with really super good coaches that are super good people that really care about our clients. And we go out of our way. Like, we make sure that we have multiple contacts with our clients per month. You know, make sure that when they're here, they feel part of the family. We know, you know, we know their kids' names. We know what's going on in their life. We know their husbands, their wives, you know, those things. That all kind of creates a culture of a place that people want to be. I think people feel that. They feel that we actually care about them. That, you know, with 380 clients, you know, a lot of businesses, people could easily be a number with that many clients. And so, you know, I think they feel that we actually care about them, not only in our gym, but what else is going on in their life.
Very cool. So how has your role in the business evolved during this growth?
Obviously, when you first start out, you're everything. You know, you're the plumber, you're the custodian, you're the coach, you're the marketer, you're everything. Over time, I still coach. I coach at heart. I love coaching. And so I still coach about, maybe 20 to 25 hours a week, probably around 20. But, you know, I've handed off a lot of the administrative type stuff. We have two programs here. One's more of a small group training, and Hayden, our kind of head coach, he runs everything on that side. He writes the programming and all that. So he took all of that off my plate. So now, you know, I spend about 20 hours a week coaching, and then I spend probably around 30 to 40 just working on the business, whether it's marketing, writing. We're big on staff development, especially education when it comes to fitness, being very, very knowledgeable, you know, about how, you know, the shoulder functions or the hip functions or, you know, different facets of physical fitness. So we're big on that. So I spend quite a bit of time, you know, reading and researching on my own so that I can help our coaches stay up to date on that as well. So about 20 hours a week coaching, 30 to 40 hours a week working on the business.
Nice. So, I mean, I know some big things have happened for you personally. I mean, you guys are building a house now. I mean, talk about how this business has impacted your family and basically, you know, your life as a whole.
Sure. My wife works full time and I have 2 young sons, 3 and 6. And so I grew up on a ranch in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming. And so I wanted to live in the country, get back to the country, have my boys be in a smaller school district, those kinds of things. We bought 12 acres about 25 miles south of my gym, and we're actually almost finished building our house on it. And so not only am I able to impact our clients on a pretty deep level, but I'm also able to impact my sons on a, maybe not a deeper level, but a better level, in my opinion, where they're in a smaller school district. You know, they're in the country where they can run and ride horses and all those kinds of things. And so not only I have a huge impact on my clients, thank goodness, but I'm able to have the same impact on my family, which is really at the end of the day, the most important.
Awesome. So with that in mind, you know, if you were to give some advice to a fitness business owner, maybe they're, you know, a startup, maybe they're kind of early stage, maybe they've just kind of hit a plateau, what 2 or 3 things would you tell them?
I would start first, and it's not always the most common answer. I would say kind of 2 different parts. Number one, don't go into a lot of debt in your business to start with. With that, number 1B is clear up your personal finances as much as you possibly can, because, you know, it's kind of like on an airplane, they tell you to put your own oxygen mask on first. if I'm constantly worried about money and doing the next challenge so I can cover rent, and I'm continually stressed out and scrapping the weekend to meet, which a little bit of that's going to happen in the beginning anyway, right? Because you're a startup. But if you go into a bunch of debt, man, it can kill your business. And so I would say start as lean as you possibly can. The second thing I would say is, and I'm all for working smart, but I think in a lot of cases people take that a little too far, and I think hard work gets lost just hustling and putting in the hours and the time, whether it be into your gym and its appearance or into your own education and research and into fitness or into your clients, texting, those types of things. Like when we were at the last mastermind, Doug Sperling looks over and I'm texting some clients that had canceled their workout that morning. And he said, "Are you working right now?" I said, "Yeah, man, I'm texting these clients, making sure they're getting their makeups in and doing all those things." And so I think a lot of times hard work is kind of lost a little bit to smart work. And I'm a fan of both, but I think that there'll never be a complete substitute for hard work. Those two are definitely where I would start.
Okay, great. So if somebody wants to learn more about you and kind of see what you have going on, model some of your successes, where can they find you?
Facebook is probably the best way to reach out. Our Facebook page is just Intensity Training Systems, or you can reach out to me directly, Levi Member. I'm the only one that I know of on Facebook. Or you can go to intensitytrainingsystems.com and reach out to me that way, email.
Awesome. Well, man, your story is inspiring. It's been really, really fun to observe here in the kind of role that I get to play and just see the success you've had, the way you've kind of built the business around the role you want to play. You're kind of crafting your life to look the way you want to look. I mean, the house is a wonderful illustration of that and the things that it does for your family. So, man, I mean, I couldn't be happier for you, and I'm so glad that you shared this story so that other fitness business owners can learn from it, can be inspired by it, and hopefully in their own unique way emulate it. So thank you. And thanks to everybody who listened in to this episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.